Hi, this is Tom Rotolo, founder of CityQuake. Welcome to our podcast where we feature messages that will change your life. I believe that Christians around the world are way overfed with teaching and way underactivated. What do I mean by that? We don't put that teaching to practice in our everyday life, and it actually makes us worse off. We know biblical truth, but it has not actually transformed our life. Well, I've chosen messages for these podcasts that will inspire you and challenge you to live out your identity as a believer filled with the Spirit of God. It's time to not just fill seats at church anymore. It's time to see our cities transformed for the kingdom of God. Get ready to be activated.
Kingdom Business Network is specifically designed to equip folks as they head to work, as the head of the workplace, whether they're CEO, president, whatever in a company, or they're flipping hamburgers or they're stocking shelves or whatever, but help them to be the most effective for Jesus. You know, it talks about in Colossians, do your work heartily as unto the Lord. And it's not only doing your work heartily, but having a witness there at work. And that's really what we're about here in Kingdom Business Network. And I'm, with what I've seen the Lord do with me over my life, it's really been a process of uncorking bottlenecks. And I know way back with Randy Clark, there was a bottleneck of faith in the United States, lack of faith, really, for miracles. And then also he had a bottleneck of finances in his ministry, and the Lord used me to uncork that bottleneck. And then helping then starting Power and Love, and then helping Todd White. And different times the Lord's given me specific ideas about uncorking bottlenecks. And I really believe that Kingdom Business Network is supposed to, I believe there's a bottleneck for Christians in their workplace. And that bottleneck is that we go to work, we know we're Christians, we know we need to do a good job and represent Jesus in terms of the type of work we do, but the bottleneck is still that we're not being effective at being witnesses, at testifying about Jesus and bringing the amazing goodness of this gospel, the amazing, not just the gospel in words, but the gospel in power to our workplace. And so I'm just going to keep us going here right over to Anthony Polinsky. We have him on today, and I'm really glad we do. I've just been getting to know Anthony, who at 24 years old, when he's atheist, he's involved in drugs and alcohol, pornography, whatever, but yet the Lord reaches down and touches his life. I'd love to hear just you share real quick, Anthony, in a second here about that story of how you got touched by the Lord. But so he was touched, and he really thought he was going to be a missionary in because his just heart was so given over to the Lord. But I love it in that the Lord said, yes, you're going to be a missionary, but you're going to be a missionary in the technology world. And which the technology world needs lots of missionaries right now. So anyway, we're going to hear about that. Anthony, I'm going to welcome you. I think I have to, I might have to unmute you, or you maybe, can you unmute yourself, Anthony?
I think so. Can everybody hear me?
Okay, good. Perfect. All right. Yes. I think you're good to go.
Awesome.
Good. So welcome. You're up in the Northwest, and I'm here on the East Coast, and folks everywhere in between here joining on. So if you got on late, welcome Kingdom Business Network with Anthony Polinsky. And so, yeah, why don't you just start off and kind of share just a little bit about that story? So you're atheist, drug addict, or I don't know if you're a drug addict, but using drugs at least. And so what happened?
I'm an addict. Let's just get it out.
Drug addict. Yeah. don't, you can't sugarcoat it.
I was as deep into all of that as possible. And I mean, to net out the story, it was, you know, I was taught, you know, as an atheist, being a man is, you know, achieve money, success, wealth, women, all of that. And when I achieved that, in my early 20s, I worked for a professional sports organization, you know, drove a Lexus, and I found out that everything I was promised promise would deliver joy, did not deliver. And I was bankrupt, lost, had no idea, you know, the dad that I loved, like, this is what he was taught. And so, you know, I was wrestling. I didn't understand, you know, why was I here? I was suicidal. I got heavy into drugs, alcohol, all of that, and literally didn't want to live anymore. I mean, I was trying to use enough drugs so that I wouldn't wake up. And so, you know, God is so gracious, because in that season, you know, I graduated from college somehow as a functioning addict. I still got my degree. And through two DUIs and a bunch of circumstances to net it out, the Lord just began to speak. Like, it was undeniable that there was a power that was after me. And I knew at that point, I was broken enough to go, you know what, I need your help, Lord. Like, there's something I need. I didn't know who that was, but I started to just ask the universe, and the universe answered. And it was very clear from the beginning that Yeshua, I love his Hebrew name, Yeshua means salvation has come. He is the one that was after me. And so it was supernatural events, things happening. And the true salvation experience for me was I relapsed after being baptized, and I just hit rock bottom, and I cursed God and I yelled at him, and I ended up in a psychiatric ward face down on the floor. I can still smell the carpet.
Wow.
And I cried, like King David, like, Lord, my sins against you and you alone. And I repented. I was like, God, I'm sorry. And it was like the collision of his love with my sin. And he said to me, he said, the reason you're stuck is because you have boulders of guilt and shame. And he said, do you want those removed? And I was
now, when he said this to you, was this more like in your heart, in your mind? How was it?
Not audibly, in my spirit. It was face down on the floor. I could hear his voice. I mean, so hard to describe, but it was in my spirit. He was like, you have guilt and shame. These are boulders. He said, do you want them removed? And I said, yes, Lord, you know I do. And I mean, he literally reached down, and I always tell people I physically felt forgiven. Like, I felt his love. I mean, I was weeping. I mean, the fire of God came down, and I walked out of that room, and the people in the psychiatric ward, I was so bad the day before, the people in the ward were staying away from me. Okay, so think about that for a second. And I come out like fire of God blazing, and, you know, just preaching the gospel, just loving people, praying for people. I was in a ward with cutters, people who cut themselves. I mean, I was praying healing over them. It was beautiful. And that was 12 years ago. So then I go back to my evangelical church, and like, people don't know what to do, right? The church I visited a few times in that process, they have no idea what to do with me, right? And so I just continued to burn. And they're like, well, the honeymoon period, it's going to wear off. Well, I'll tell you this, 12 years later, I'm still in fuego. Let's just call it that. So Jesus is so good. And it's because he gave me a deep healing. That's something I felt the Lord wanted me to share with you guys, is like, I'm standing here not because of anything I have done. I'm standing here because God did a deep healing work in me and undid abuse and all these things that I had endured, and gave me a new name and gave me a purpose and a mission. So that brought me to the time when I said, Lord, send me to Cambodia, Thailand, Southeast Asia, somewhere. Like, I'm going to preach the gospel to people who've never heard all of that. And he literally said, you're going into the technology business. And I said, no, I'm not. And he said, yes, you are. And so for 2 years, I reluctantly worked in this industry. And he said to me, Anthony, if you will just surrender, if you will come into agreement with my purpose, I will carry you further than you could ever imagine. And so I can remember the weekend it happened. And I said, Lord, I'll do this if you want me to. And that was, you know, about 10 years ago. And my career took off. You know, I'm not a prosperity preacher, but like, God did bless me in my work and all of that. And his hand was upon me. And so I just set out to sell technology solutions with every breath of mine dedicated to looking for those opportunities where the Lord put me there to be his mouthpiece and to be his heart. You know, his heart beat in the office, right? So.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, tell us since then, I mean, obviously there's blessing and favor on you. He opened up that door, and he, I mean, really called you to that ministry. But so then what's that been like in terms of you just being a witness there in, you know, I mean, I don't know if there's any field that's really easy to be a witness, but technology, people tend to be in their heads. They tend to be, you know, very logical, and God and all that is like pretty much anathema.
Yeah, it's one of the most challenging places to be. I mean, I'm talking to people, a lot of you who are in, you know, corporate America and all that. The things that we stand upon are often not welcome there, right? And so. Right. Sorry, I've got pop-ups here. But yeah, so it's not welcome. So it's almost easier. And I've been on mission trips. Like, it's easier to go to Haiti and preach the gospel. It is so much harder to preach the gospel in both, where I love what you said, Tom, in word and power, right? Not just preaching it, but living it. To do that in an environment that has other aspirations. They have other things that are more important than God. And so I feel like my testimony has been, I have constantly been put in positions where I could tell the Lord had architected something where I had to prove that my idol was not my job. My God was my all in all. Yahweh was my, like, he, and so I had to choose. And that's something, you know, you and I talked a little bit about, Tom, is that every time I would wrestle and I would doubt and I would go through those normal human emotions, but then God would just say, Anthony, stand, do this. I've told you to do this. And then I would do it and he would always take care of me. He'd always do it. And it just was such a beautiful witness to, like, just, you know, one of the things, encouragements, just stand. Like, if God's calling you to something in your workplace, like, I'm a living testimony, and preach this to myself. Like, we just have to stand upon it.
Give us some examples of, like, what has he called you to do? I know that's really where the rubber meets the road. We all kind of, in theory, when we're in church in a meeting, yo, yay, Jesus, you know, go, yes, we're going to be witnesses to all nations. But then we get in the workplace and it's like, you know, nothing comes out of our mouth. So what was that like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard for me to hide my faith in Messiah. It just oozes out of me, I'm sure, like a lot of you. So, like, with one of my first tech jobs, I just flat out told my boss when I got hired, I said, listen, I want you to know something about me. I said, my passion is Jesus. He's the reason. If you see anything good in me in the workplace, it's Jesus. If you see anything bad in me, it's me. And I just led out with that. And I said, you know, this is what my passion is. And, you know, I'm going to, you know, work and be above reproach, all of that. And, I mean, he didn't know what to do with it, but I think he respected it to some degree. And so it was interesting that, you know, he and I developed a relationship. And then at one point he called me out into the hallway on a Monday and said, dude, I need to talk to you. And I thought I was in trouble, but he ended up bearing his soul to me and sharing about his addictions and how he had just relapsed after, like, many years with heroin. And, you know, he was broken as broken could be. And I had been talking to him about Jesus where possible. And so this was an opportunity where I just, you know, said, listen, like, this is what we've been talking about. Like, you need the power of God to deliver you from this, right? And, you know, you need that. Wow. And so that began a process. And it was funny because then I left and ended up getting another, you know, better job. And I was like, I don't know, 6 months later, you know, 8 months later, where I got a phone call from that friend, and he became a great friend. And he said, you're the first person I want to reach out to. He said, you know, today, he said, you know, I looked at my watch on the porch of a pastor's house that I ended up meeting, who said, what are you waiting for? It's time for you to give your life to Jesus. What are you waiting for? And he looked down at his watch and it was 3:16. And so he just, like, you know, wept and, like, knew God was after him. And so he confessed Jesus as Lord, called me to share, hey, man, like, thanks for, you know, being a light and blah, blah, blah. And then I, you know, I got to baptize him, and we are still great friends to this day. And so for me, it's always just been, just be authentic. Like, we don't have to be ashamed of the gospel. Like, we don't have to be Bible thumpers hitting people, but we can be so distinct in our heart and our love and the way that we live. The people, we provoke them to jealousy just by our presence. And whether some people it offends and others, you're the one, I can say that, and looking at all your faces, I'm sure people come to you and bare their souls because you're the one that carries Jesus inside of you into your workplace. They won't go to a church or to a Christian counselor sometimes, but they'll come to you in the cubicle next door because they're drawn to Jesus. They're not drawn to you. They're drawn to Jesus in you. And that's, it's not something we have to force. It's something that will naturally happen as we avail ourselves to the purposes of God in our workplace. So I think that's what I've seen in my journey. So
I think it's interesting that right up front for one of your jobs, and I know you've had a couple different ones, but I think it's interesting that right up front in your job, you put it out there in terms of where you stood and kind of let the chips fall where they will. That's really right at the start. That's like saying, Lord, I trust you. You're going to have to guide me in the job that he's either going to accept me or not. And you know, right up front.
Yeah. I'll tell you a funny one. I felt led to share with you. This might be, you know, new for some of you as you know, Christians, but it's funny that I've always loved the Hebraic aspects of the Christian faith. And so one of the things that God asked me to do was, and, you know, in the book of Leviticus, it says that, you know, the Hebrews, they wore, you know, tassels attached to the corners of their garments. It was like my wedding ring was a physical reminder of my marriage to my wife. Well, a tassel was a physical reminder externally of the covenant and the marriage with God. And, you know, there's a whole debate about whether we should keep that or not. And that's not what I want to get into. But the point being was God and his spirit asked me to put those on and wear those into my workplace. And I said, God, I'm not doing that. Like, I don't have to anymore. And I had this whole debate with him. And he's like, why don't you want to wear them? And just like Jesus, he's always after the heart. And the reason I didn't want to wear them is because I didn't want to be set apart in that way. I didn't want to look strange to the people. It was all based on people pleasing. It was all based on the fear of man and things that God wanted to deliver me of. So it wasn't even about tassels or tzitzit is what they're called in Hebrew. I put them on and wore them into work. And I got to tell you, and this is what, you know.
You're not talking about physically wearing something, but you're talking about.
I physically put them on because God asked me to. Like, I put them on the
corner. Okay. I'm thinking symbolically here, but you're talking.
They're hanging on to my heart right now because I'm not wearing them right now. But he asked me to physically wear them for that season, and that's what, you know, the woman that went through the crowd. She grabbed the hem of Jesus's garments, and that's what healed her.
Okay.
She grabbed that, right? And it's representative of God's commandments. Anyways, so I go in. We don't have enough time for me to tell you the number of encounters I had with people who saw those who were like, are you Jewish or what's that about? And created a conversation.
Conversation,
and then I got to, like, share this stuff with them, like heart level, Jesus, who he is. And it was like God honored that weird step of obedience that he asked me to take and used it. And people actually didn't reject it. They actually were perplexed by it. And I think it caused them to go, wow, he's really serious about what he believes. And it led to deep conversation. So, I mean, again, if God's asking you to do strange things, like sometimes he asks us those things. Look at the scriptures. I mean, we've got hundreds and thousands of examples of that, right? So, again, back to whatever the spirit of God puts on you, like just walk in that and trust him to give you grace to do it. So,
what have been some of the stories that you look back on and where people were touched at work when you kind of took that step of faith? I know when we go into the breakout session, you kind of gave me some questions for the moderators to talk about. So I thought maybe you should tell a couple stories of where you were stepping out, and maybe, I don't know, it could be risking your job or risking that relationship, risking what that person was thinking about you, but how you stepped out at the workplace.
Yeah, well, Tom, as we get to know each other better, and I think everybody on this call, I am authentic to a T, cards on the table. And so I know we're in a very perplexing time. People are asking questions about COVID and all this stuff. And I got to be honest, I'm just going to state unequivocally, like, my position without digging into all of it is that, you know, masks are not what we need, because God put me on planet Earth to reveal the face of God. Like, I'm on planet Earth because I bear his image in the earth, and to cover up that image in any way is not what the Father wants. And so recently I have had to stand upon that in the workplace and just say, listen, like, this is why I don't believe in wearing a mask. And so that has led to just recently a colleague of mine reaching out to me, and God had told me, he said, call this friend in the business and tell him about your position on masks and vaccines and all this different stuff. And so I had this conversation with him, and it led to like this unbelievable opportunity where he goes, you know what? Like, you really are convicted about this, and I've never thought about it that way. And so he's like, he literally asked me to tell him more about Jesus. He said, I know you talk about Jesus and this, like, what does he mean to you? And little did I know, God had been pursuing this guy, and he had been another Christian he had for breakfast. And he's like, and he's the one that, like, likes to use phrase, like, the universe is talking to me. Like, and that's his language. He doesn't have a framework for what's happening to him, but it's the same thing that I experienced 12 years ago. Something's pursuing him. So, you know, I believe, and as we, you know, stand in the workplace upon the truths of God, he gives us incredible grace, and then he moves in people's hearts because they need to see the gospel. That's what he always says. And people have heard it. We need to fill up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. That's not that there was anything lacking. That's that people's ability to perceive the goodness and the completion of what Jesus did, they need to see it in us. And so when we put our jobs on the line for the gospel's sake, I mean, I had a deal, you know, I'm in sales, data center sales. I had a deal that I had to close on the last day of the quarter. It happened to be a Friday. Well, my coworkers know that I keep the Sabbath Friday night, Saturday night. And I told them flat out, I said, listen, if this deal is not closed by the time the sun goes down on Friday, I said, I am not going to be waiting around for the executive to come in and sign the paper. I said, I have committed to God a long time ago that, like, between he and I, this is my covenant with him. And I'm sticking to this 24-hour period that I spend with Jesus. Like, that's non-negotiable. And the beautiful thing was, again, that triggered things where people were like, who does that? Like, this is a, you know, six-figure check and all this different stuff. Who puts that on the line? Boss was mad. People were upset. And God in his goodness allowed the executive, who was not supposed to come in until like 10 o'clock or late, he was going to basically come in after dinner and sign. He came in before his dinner and signed. So I ended up getting it signed before the sun went down. And it ended up being the deal to put our company over the number for the quarter, which put me, you know, which basically ultimately fulfilled my ability to move up here to the Pacific Northwest. Like, God did such incredible things, but it was only after I put my job on the line where they could have said, you know what, if we're not important enough, then you're out. Like, this deal is really significant. But yeah, God allowed it to come through, and they brought about a lot of good conversations. And then, you know, people, I think, witnessed something different in that, you know?
Yeah. What's hitting me by these last two stories, Anthony, are that oftentimes we've got it backwards about work. We think, okay, work is something where I'm going to provide the income so I can provide for me and my family. And it is that, but we put that as the priority rather than, no, work is the place where God has placed me to reveal his glory, to reveal himself to, primarily and secondarily. And as I do that, as I seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then all these things, my job, you know, the income and all that I need and the guidance. I think sometimes people, because their job is very protected and they're holding on to it like, okay, no, this is my income. I can't let this go. I can't risk this. But until everything's on the table, I mean, we're really not up on that altar of sacrifice.
Oh, I mean, you're nailing it. I mean, it is the altar of sacrifice. And I'll say this to you, Tom. What God told me when I first got saved is he said, I'm going to come back in you before I come back for you. So God is coming back in his church before he comes back for his church. And so we are his plan in these last days to have him come back in us in that workplace. And that's going to require that we become the sacrifice. Like, we have to demonstrate that our treasure is not on this earth, that our treasure is in heaven. And in a place like the technology world where everybody, it's all about fast pace and money and this and that, people, and some of the people I love the most are the most broken because they're like me. They're chasing after money and they have it and they found out it's bankrupt. So they need somebody like us to be in there and show them through our choices that our treasure is in heaven and that it's not here on earth. And that right there will preach the gospel, because then we can say, guess what? You know why that is? Because Jesus Christ is the great heart surgeon and he came in and did a work in me. And I was once that way too, trust me. Like, there's no judgment. Right. It's just, I've seen the power of God move in the hearts of men and he can transform.
Give us another example. I love the stories. Give us another story of another life being touched.
I shared, so my wife, she's funny. She's like, you need to, you know, write a book and call it like Uber testimonies or something. So, you know, part of my journey is like, you know, I'm planes, trains, Ubers, and I have an Uber ministry because I get a captive audience for as long as possible, you know, and I love that.
Not that you're driving the Uber, but when you ride in the Uber,
I travel full time before COVID, you know, almost every week I'm gone. And so, you know, the way I'd get through that was the fact that I'm an evangelist at heart, love the prophetic, love sharing words for people, praying for them, blah, blah, blah. So I'd get into an Ubers and it's always this beautiful thing where I'm like, God, give me something specific for this person. Like, I don't want to just can some scripture for them. Like, there's an appointed word for this hour for this person. And like asking God in real time as you're having a conversation. And one in particular that always sticks out to me, I'll never forget it, is, and I shared it with you before, was there was a man and he was from Nepal. And because I'll ask questions, you know, where are you from? And he tells me he's from Nepal and there's a language barrier. He has a shrine to Buddha on the dash. And he has an encyclopedia of Nepal on the back of his seat. And I'm like, I'm going, God, how do I connect with this guy? He said, just ask him about Nepal. Like, he's obviously passionate about asking. So he starts to tell me about Nepal. His whole family's from this long line of Sherpas. And so I'm like, tell me about Sherpas. Like, I've heard about Sherpas. Like, what's the deal with that? And he's like, well, if you need a good Sherpa, you come to Nepal, you're going to hike up into, I think, the Himalayas, or, you know, if you don't have a good Sherpa, you will die on the mountain. He said, but if you have a good Sherpa, they will get you to the top. Like, you will not, you know, they will carry you on their back if they have to. They know the right way. They know all the pitfalls. And he's giving me this whole dissertation on Sherpas. And it's so awesome. And I'm like, oh, man, this is cool. And so I end up sharing with him just about Jesus and being a Christian. Have you ever heard of the name Yeshua? I use that a lot. Have you ever heard the name Yeshua? And they always say no. And I said, well, that's the name Jesus you may have heard of in English, and it means salvation has come. And we start talking about the gospel and all that, and it's just not connecting. Like, I am getting nowhere, right? So we get to the airport, and I get out of the car, and I'm just crying out to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, please, God, give me a word for this guy, because I feel like I got nowhere. And I could tell he liked me. We had a good relationship, whatever. Well, I'm literally pulling my bag up on the sidewalk, and I hear the Lord as clear as day in my spirit. He said, tell him I'm the great Sherpa. And
come on.
His whole family's from a long line of Sherpas. And so I turned to him, I look at him, I can't even remember his name now, it's hard to pronounce. And I said, you know, Jesus, he is the great Sherpa. And I literally watched that wall come down. It gives me chills to this day. I mean, I saw tears come out of his eyes, and he motioned towards me to hug me.
Come on.
I hugged him, and we just embraced, and like, I felt the love of God literally moving from me to him. And the cool thing is, I felt God's heart for him. Like, God's love for this guy. And that was it. And then I was gone. And I mean, I'm hundreds of stories of Uber drivers and, you know, people in hotels and, you know, poor sales engineers that I work with that have to, you know, ride a shotgun with me and, you know, see these things happen. I just do it in front of them. Like, I pray for people when they ask me to. I mean, we celebrate Hanukkah is one of the things we do. And I celebrate Hanukkah in my car with my sales engineer on the phone virtually with my wife and my kids, because we wanted to celebrate Jesus as the light of the world. And so we did it in the car. I mean, I'm not ashamed, and we don't have to be. Like, we have the thing that everyone else needs, and we should want them to experience what we've experienced. So that's what I've just been doing, just live it out, and imperfectly, very imperfectly, but I live it out and God's moved through it. So.
If you had to give, like, you know, one or maybe or two very practical things for the folks on the call, what would you tell them? Hey, you know, try this or think about this or whatever. I know it's open ended, so I'll just throw it there. What's something practical?
For me, everything is about learning more about the nature and character of God and his heart. So for me, and it is every day I walk into the workplace and say, God, I want you to reveal something about your nature to me. And then let me have your heart for them. Like, starting every day, give me your heart for this person next to me. Give me your heart for this person that's giving me a hard time. This boss that wants to fire me. Like one of the things as an atheist that convicted me more than anything about the deity of Jesus Christ was when he hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Wow. Only the Son of God does that. And so asking God, because it doesn't come naturally, give me your heart for even the worst person in my workplace, because that's the one that God wants to go after. I'll just tell you that. He didn't come for the well. He came for those who are in need of a physician. And and number two is dial into the Holy Spirit. Like, the Holy Spirit is a real thing. I know I don't have to preach that to people on this call, but like, listening and learning the Father's voice so that you can say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? What's going to unlock this person's heart? Like, do I need to back off? Do I need to, you know, come closer? Like, Jesus was different with the Samaritan woman than he was with the Pharisee, than he was with the disciple. He was very unique in how he interacted with every person that he came in contact with. And that was the beauty. He was the Father. He says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And so the Father was going after his children, and how he would rescue each one was very personal and very unique. And that's why formulas for evangelism do not work. There are principles that we can employ and that I think are consistent, but God is after individual hearts. Like, and each of you have stories where he personally went after you. He gave you very specific things that only you would know. And that's who the Father is. And other people need to see it. And then we just need to say, how can I be that vessel through which your Spirit moves? We're not going to be creative enough, smart enough. We're not going to come up with the best strategy. We just have to be yielded. And like you said, Tom, be that altar of sacrifice where we say, even if this seems weird, I'm going to go say this to that person in the cubicle over there, right? Because we're willing to put our reputation or our relationship or whatever it is on the line in the hope that they might come to a knowledge of the truth.
Yeah. And I know so many people, you know, when I've heard stories, they approach people, they know deep down, oh, this is going to seem weird to them. But they even start off with that. Hey, this might seem weird to you, but and then, you know, I just think God said this about you, or I all of a sudden I want to pray for your neck. Why is that? Or, you know, whatever it is, you know, it's like they start off with this might be weird, but, and then they go and they step out. But I love what you also shared about just the everyday saying, Lord, show me more about your character, who you are, so that I can deliver this. I can be kind of that conduit, bringing the very person of God who I've gotten to know to somebody else who doesn't yet.
And if that's okay.
Yeah, please.
One more is, and this is really important. If your passion, if God has given you a passion outside of what you call, you know, traditional ministry, share that with people around you. So, you know, I run a nonprofit to fight sex trafficking. I think it mentioned in my bio. Mm-hmm. Like, I was afraid to talk about that in some ways because I thought people would wonder, well, how much time am I spending on this or that? And I had all these reasons, like, why? God is like, just share the heart. Why did God give you a heart for children being sex trafficked? And it's because God made children, and he made them in Psalm 8:2 to praise him, to silence the avenger and the foe. And so the trafficking of children is literally the fracturing of the very thing God called children to do. And so we feel called, because of our love for God, to go after these kids. And so I've begun to share that with people in my workplace. I've shared hard things with men in my workplace about the connection between pornography and trafficking. And so I was afraid to do that, but every time I have done it, it has caused people to be encouraged and ask me questions about why did I get involved in this? How can I get involved? All that kind of stuff. So just a tactical, since I love, Tom, that you guys are passionate about, like, tangible things to do. If God has given you something else in your life that he's put on your heart, you're designed like a sled dog. I remember watching a video. The sled dog was pulling this thing across the Arctic. It was smiling. I was like, why are those dogs so happy? God was like, it's because they are doing what they were designed to do. Across the Yukon River. He said, you have a sled and you have a Yukon River. You were designed for something. Whatever that is, share that with the people in your workplace, because you'll be surprised at how God will use that as an avenue through which, you know, it'll provoke them to ask you questions, and that Jesus can be revealed. Let your good works, you know, glorify God. Everybody in my work knows that Anthony is not trying to promote Anthony. Anthony really does love Jesus, and he just happens to fight, you know, sex trafficking, and we think that's cool. And then I can say, well, that's because justice is written on your heart. God made you that way. That's why you feel that. And so there's just some amazing ways that God's used that, and especially to encourage the men in my workplace to, you know, call them higher, away from pornography, away from those kind of things, into freedom.
Yeah.
That's the message. Bring freedom into the workplace, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, right? And the Spirit of the Lord is in you. So.
Well, I'm just glad that you said yes to the Lord, because it feels like that you are right, like that sled dog, that you're right in the place that you're supposed to be, smiling away there. Great. Thank you so much, Anthony. Bless you, and I appreciate you being with us.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast today. If this message has impacted your life, we invite you to check out citiquake.org. Just so you know, our policy here at CityQuake is to offer messages like this one for no charge. Why is that? We want to bless as many people as possible. Would you consider sewing into CityQuake today to help us get these messages out to even more folks out there? Also on the CityQuake website, you'll be able to find links to testimonies of what God has done out there in the streets, and also find out our CityQuake schedule. That's CityQuake.org. Until next time.